Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy. Today we're talking about spoilers for the Yoko Factor. And this episode's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit shorter simply because as we're nearing the end of the season, we kind of go a little bit lighter on spoilers because we have our big live spoiler event for Restless, the season finale coming up, which you guys are all invited to. We actually now have a date for that. That will be Sunday, June 4th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we'll give you guys more information on where you guys can find us and all that in the next coming episodes and stuff. But just so you guys know, that means this will be the last spoiler episode that we do for season 4. Once we get back to season 5, or once we move on to season 5, we'll be back to our normal subscriber special episodes and stuff. So just so you guys know for that. But also today is going to be a little bit different because we actually recorded all of our spoilers at the same time we recorded our spoiler-free episode. I just cut all that out. So Chrissy's going to be joining us today, and it's going to be like bits and pieces of what we talked about on the episode just from a spoiler perspective. So a little bit shorter today, but it's good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Okay, so I wrote a post,
I wrote a poem.
Yeah, I wrote a poem. I'm now going to read it to you guys. No, over on our Instagram, I wrote a post talking about how, because we did New Moon Rising last week, and we were talking about how it's really hard. And it feels like this show is starting to edge towards championing free will over the expense of most everything else. And that often comes at the expense of villainous characters, to where we start sympathizing with the villains more than Buffy. And we talked about how like there's an inconsistency in trying to, and we saw this with Pangs, we saw this in New Moon Rising, there's an inconsistency in trying to compare vampires in a sympathetic light to LGBTQ, queer people, to Native Americans, which is what they've been doing, and make Buffy the oppressor, or at least the face of the oppressor. And that is really dangerous to do on this show because Buffy is very black and white. And if Buffy is not in the moral right in what she's doing, then the show's premise completely falls apart because she's a slayer and she has to kill demons. So like, I appreciate nuance in my villains, and sometimes it isn't as black and white, but the show needs to take a hard stance in where they fall. And like we all know, come season 6, that starts to get real dicey between Buffy and Spike. And I wanted to talk about how the show has been reinforcing the idea with Spike that even a chip won't change who he is at his core. And we've been seeing this season how the show has been making Spike a victim and taking away his free will. But they're also hammering home that he still desires to harm people, and he's depressed until he's able to do so. And in Doomed, they talked about a lot how he suddenly figured out, oh, hey, I can hurt people with my words, but I can also go attack demons, like in the same episode. And so this is important to remember as we get into the later seasons and people want to praise Spike for doing nice things for Buffy while soulless. Because while soulless, he is selfish and everything he does is self-motivated, even if it appears to be nice. And that all builds upon this idea right here. So I just think it's important to like see that and see that that's probably the show's biggest weakness, and that's why some things start to break down in the later seasons.
I feel like that's something that I'm more so like, I agree with you, but I feel like it's something that I'm more so I'm going to talk about later, because I feel like there's like specific instances that I can
sure
talk about when they happen, more so like as a general.
I'm kind of hazy on some stuff that happens too in like seasons 6 specifically.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. Well, I mean, we'll have plenty of opportunity to talk about it, but it's kind of clicked for me because for the longest time, there's always been this divide of why are seasons 1, 2, and 3 so freaking good? And then the latter half, like it's not horrible, but especially in season 6 and 7, some things start to fall apart narratively wise. And I think that I figured out why is because the show used demons and vampires as metaphors for the demons that people were struggling with internally. And then you get to seasons 4, 5, 6, and 7, and those demons started manifesting as physical demons for other things that they were trying to do. And then they started messing with things like addiction and all that stuff, which and depression, which great, good. We need to talk about that. But then they start kind of muddling that with magic and then like trying to be more nuanced, but it creates a very muddled thing because you haven't very well defined things like what is a soul? And if you have a if you have a demon without a soul, are they capable of doing good? Because you said vampires weren't, but then you have people like Sky over in, Bad Girls or whatever, I forget where, you know, but that's, it's never said whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, but it's said to be bad that Faith kills him. So I don't know. The show just never good. Really.
He had an apartment
and a family.
I feel so sad for him.
For every demon who has an apartment, they're just a good guy.
He was just doing his own job. He wore a suit. The poor. I'm on Sky. I say I like. I'm on his side.
Justice for Sky. No, totally. But I'm just saying the show didn't very well define things like what is a soul? What does it mean to have a soul? Especially when a demon has a soul, are they good? Are they bad? What happens if they're, because there's humans that are capable of awful things like we're going to see with Warren later on. So because the show doesn't very clearly define those things and they don't clearly define magic and magic use as, okay, up till this level is okay, but then you go past that and it becomes addictive, you know? So things like that, it just starts to break down. And then once they started really conflating vampires and demons with the victims, then things just start getting really messy. So we're starting to see hints of that here in season 4. So just trying to point out where the show is going. So I want to talk about Xander and Riley's relationship moving on in the series, because the moment where Xander tells Riley all that information, and then I think about how Riley in season 5 tells Xander that he loves Buffy, but she doesn't love him. It's interesting how Xander and Riley both gravitate towards each other a lot in the series. And this might be a hot take, but I believe that Xander liked Riley more than any of Buffy's other boyfriends, because Xander projected onto Riley and was like, yeah, you're the nice guy, the normal guy that got Buffy because Xander wanted Buffy.
Military.
This is also going to sound so bad, but it's also like, I think that Riley didn't threaten Xander.
No, like he probably Riley, didn't.
Riley knew that Xander wasn't, or sorry, Xander knew that Riley wasn't the long haul guy. But I think that that's why Xander resonates with him, is because he's not threatened by Buffy and Riley's connection, because he knows that Buffy's not really in it.
Yeah, because he's Buffy's heart, so he would know that. Oh my goodness, Leo, look at you.
I only sound smart in the spoiler section.
But I think about it's really kind of jarring to see Xander so embracing of Riley after the absolute hatred of Angel and then moving on with Spike. And it's just, it to me, it's icky. Because I think Xander, he's still in love with Buffy and continues to, even though he's supposed to get past that by the end of the show, I still think if Buffy had said, hey, Xander, I'm into you, Xander in season 7 would have been like, heck yes, let's go. Like, I'm on, you know?
Well, we know in the comics he gets to, you know, be as close as Buffy as he possibly can by being with her.
No, we don't talk about the comics here, Chrissy.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he got the next thing.
And that makes it even ickier. That's the thing that I think, like, yes, there's an age gap, and Xander knew Dawn when she was younger, but I think the fact that everyone knows that Xander had a crush on Buffy for forever and Buffy wouldn't get with him, that it almost feels like Dawn is just constantly.
There's too many issues with that, to be honest. I could be sitting here for like hours. No. So gross. Yeah.
But I see a lot of parallels, like with in this episode, like with Riley and Xander and their relationships with Anya and Buffy, because later on you see like Xander trying to copy Riley when he's like massaging Buffy, and then that's like season 5 like with Anya, and then at the end of the episode we see the parallel there where like Xander and Anya, they're in love and then Riley's just like, she doesn't love me. And it's kind of sad.
Right.
I kind of felt bad for Riley there. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel bad for him, but at the same time, be like,
though. Then leave.
Sorry. Then leave!
No, guys, okay, I'm not trying to be rude, but like when you're with somebody for a year and you say, love you, and they go, okay, like leave. Like, that's humiliating.
I stopped sympathizing with Riley and Doomed when he was like bullying Buffy and like telling her, oh,
true,
yeah,
true,
that's
true.
The thing. Okay, in Doomed, yeah, when Riley's all like, I'm there, sure there's some good
you're
looking
stupid
guy out there that's done you wrong or something like mm-hmm that, didn't know all the facts. And then in this episode, learns mm-hmm on the facts and then acts like this towards Buffy. No wonder she didn't trust you to tell you the truth.
No. She basically told him, though, she didn't want to be with him. Like, she literally told
no,
him.
No, she didn't.
And he was just like, yeah, girl, I don't care what you say. You're going to be mine. Like,
yeah.
No, he goes, you're stupid. No, I didn't mean that. Well, maybe I did.
Maybe I did.
Huh?
I can't watch that episode.
I love a man that just absolutely insults my intelligence before telling me he's into me.
It reminds me of, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched, like, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. No. Of Potomac, but there's this girl in there and she was like, I didn't call you stupid. Oh, if I called you stupid, sorry, I meant that you were dumb. Like, that is Riley.
Oh, Riley. Yes, subtle differences.
Yes, that's Riley.
So I want to talk about Buffy and Riley's relationship moving on to season 5. And I want to know your guys' thoughts, because I know Leah has never liked Buffy and Riley together from the very beginning. I personally thought that Buffy and Riley were okay up until Doomed, and then I started to see some weird things. But I really firmly believe this episode is where their relationship is fully and completely doomed, and this is where Riley's insecurity starts. From here on out, I believe a seed was planted with the whole angel and perfect happiness thing that continues to fester in Riley up through season 5, and his insecurity begins to really show through here, and Riley never gets over that. And someone commented and said that Riley wants to possess and control Buffy because that's what the initiative has taught him is love and family. And I thought that was super interesting. So what are your guys' thoughts? Do you guys think that Riley's insecurity starts in this episode or later or earlier or whatever?
I think it was always there. I think he was always insecure.
Yeah.
But I think physically seeing Angel kind of made it even worse than what it was, and then him finding out all the other information, and then later on in season 5, like when Dawn is like, you know, she wasn't crying over you all the time, and you know, it wasn't all doom and gloom with you. I think that really hurt him too. So yeah,
I think it's always there, but I think this definitely like really kickstarted it for him.
It sucks because it's like the writers tried so hard to set Riley up, but they did it in all the wrong way. And then they just – it's like they did not know how to set up their relationship. It just – it absolutely sucks because it could have been something kind of good.
See, I've always said that. I feel like Riley was a better partner for Willow. And I
– Yes.
Yeah. We have been saying
me
that too.
He was a better partner for Willow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tara's great.
Yeah,
don't get me
I
wrong.
Agree.
But he would have been really good.
Yep. I agree. All right, guys, that wraps up our Scooby's Secrets spoiler section for Yoko Factor. Say that 10 times fast. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and for supporting us over here on our Buy Me a Coffee. It means the world to us. Just a reminder, we will not be having a spoiler section for Primeval, but join us on our live spoiler section for Restless. It's going to be great. Send in your thoughts, your questions, your comments, whatever, for Restless, and we will talk about them during the live section, or maybe you can come on and talk about it yourself. That would be great. Either way, guys, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you in season 5.